Welcome back, folks, to another episode of Curses and Crossroads. We are so excited to have you here with us once again. As always, please feel free to check our show notes for content warnings as well as trigger warnings. As a general rule of thumb for this episode, we will be talking about entering mines, discussion of guns, discussion of minor bodily injury, as well as claustrophobic spaces. Please always check our show notes for details about the episode, as well as to check out our social media, which you can find us at Twitter at CursesXRoadsPod. Feel free to reach out to us. We love to hear back from you. Anyways, without further ado, thank you for joining us once again, and we will see you on the road. Welcome back to another episode of Curses and Crossroads. We're going to jump back in. Does anybody have any questions before we get into this episode?
Was it the chicken or the egg first?
That is the question.
I have to wonder.
I mean, like, it has to
that
be the chicken,
all that
right?
Is a statement.
Oh, I was going to have the argument it was the egg. But...
I believe it would be the egg. Based on cellular structure.
Is it? Okay. Is it based on cellular structure?
God,
or is this like the first chicken?
Damn,
I know.
Kelly.
This is a rhetorical question.
Because, like, statistically, the chicken would have to come first because there has to be an individual that is genetically a chicken before there can be a genetic egg that's a chicken.
Well, genetic mutations would occur
in
the egg. Right?
Yeah.
And so
how
then it could genetically,
because
that's how you got
chicken.
Because you have
that's
to have, you have to have that cellular cloning to be able
it.
To happen.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
Some
say you could get the very first chicken.
You're
it was genetic mutation.
It would have been an egg
because we know more than
I'm willing to see that. There's the end.
Welcome back to Curses and Crossroads, where we philosophize, and then Kelly and Jovan regret their smart-ass
questions. And then Kelly and Jovan have fun in their little side pocket while fun is happening.
Or in the background.
Sometimes Garrett gets caught.
We distract all of the hard sciences, and then the two English majors are just like, LOL, look how seriously they take life.
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Idiots. We
it's
know
a metaphor.
The it means the author had depression, guys. God. That's
was
why
the
room
blue?
Was blue.
Yeah.
Because
then it'd
be a robin.
Oh my god.
Okay.
All right.
Anyways.
I'm driving to the mines.
So we have Bill and Jay on their way to the mines. We're going to cut back across town to the Bridgeburn Estate. Michael has somehow been talked into bringing KP and Luis.
Luis is part of the plan.
Yes, but Luis is confused.
Okay, that's okay.
And Luis is a sweet boy who mostly just rolls with the punches. But he keeps being confused why the person that's staying at the inn is coming with them to the Bridgeburn Estate. But he's like, I...
Sure.
So, Michael is in the passenger seat, and KP is in the back, and Luis is driving. Mostly because Michael is also grounded from driving because he's failing science.
Chemistry.
Yeah. and so, he looks over at his brother and he goes, okay, just park down here. We'll come out and meet you guys in about maybe 15 minutes. Gotta take the crepes, gotta go schmooze Mr. KT, check up with him, see how things are going, pretend to do homework, maybe actually have Sydney do some of my homework, and then we'll be down. And Luis is like, dude, you've explained this like 3 times on the entire ride up here. And Michael's like, I'm really nervous. I'm hoping those improv classes are gonna come in handy. It's like, you're not lying. You're failing science. And he goes, yeah, I know. Mom has harassed me about it every day this week. Louisa's like, well, I mean, you should get more creative with where you hide
Your report card is all I'm saying. And he goes, you're a traitor.
I had no idea what was coming. I did not know you were about to say report card. I was like,
are we allowed to say that on air?
Can we do not want to find out what is after maturity rate.
So Michael gets out of the car. Michael walks towards the house. Mr. K.T. Bridgeburn opens the door and he's like, oh my god, it's Michael, one of my favorite people on the planet. And he obviously takes the crepes and is very excited. Grandpa is very tired. He's very sad. So these crepes are a good thing.
Yes.
And he's like, so where's Sydney? And he's like, she's up in her room. If you kids need to use the library, you can. It's fully to your disposal. I'm glad she has a friend in you, Michael. And he goes, me too, Mr. KT. Mostly because she's made sure I haven't failed 30% of my classes. And he's like, your mom tells me so. And he's like, yeah, she tells everybody. And he walks in. He walks in and he goes towards your room. Because, I mean, he's like grown up with you. So. Sir. So you hear a knock at the door. And it's Michael, and he's like, psst. I'm here to do my homework.
Sydney just opens the door with, like,
sound less.
The expression.
Sound more suspicious.
He said, you better have a goat cheese.
He shows it to you, and he's like, it's the war.
But it has tomatoes on it.
No.
It's the wrong
it's
one.
The good one.
He left the other one with the tomato in the car.
Okay, so she accepts him into the room.
Okay, what's the plan?
So I've worked it out.
He sighs and he kind of looks.
She flips the whiteboard to the cardboard.
Yes. Okay. So she like moves her bed away from the wall behind the headboard. It's all right there.
She goes, I cannot wait.
Here's the plan.
I cannot wait.
There's like red string everywhere. She ran out of red string, so she had to start using like duct tape and like little corded parts.
He's looking at it and he's like, the duct tape took a long time, didn't it?
It did, yeah, but I'm committed.
Why didn't you just get more string?
Because I'd have to go downstairs and face my grandfather. I'm moping. It's the principal. He has to know that I'm moping. And if I go downstairs and I see his face, then I will stop moping.
He kind of scratches the back of his neck. You're like, your grandpa looks really sad.
You're really weak. Stop. Shh. Not part of the plan. Does anywhere on this plan say make Sydney feel guilty? No, it doesn't.
Get to say.
So then she just kind of walks over. She's like, first of all, I have this recording device so that if he is to check in on us and twist the door, I will hinge it for us to say we're studying, and then that'll be it. I don't know if that's going to work. We could end up being killed by the end of the night, but I feel like it's a risk we're going to take.
It's like, so I shouldn't worry about finishing my homework.
I've actually put that into the plan.
You finished my homework?
No.
Oh.
You're going to finish your homework. Yeah. It's great. You'll love it.
It's all in the plan.
He kind of does that. Board. He kind of does that. Oh, God. I didn't want to.
Don't worry. We're just going to do the quiz. It'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
So then she kind of just lays out the plan, which is basically she has like a duffel bag full of stuff. She has the iconic baseball bat that she's been dying to use. Mm-hmm. And they're going to basically rappel out of her window. She's been planning this for the whole day. She's had a lot. There are flaws in her plan.
Yes.
No.
Yes, there are.
Who would have thought?
So she like basically lays out this entire thing. She has a map of the mind, she has a headlamp, she has rope, she has like all of this really cool stuff, right? And then she just kind of stops and she's like, the problem is, neither of us know how to rappel. I mean, I do. You don't. I'm concerned for you.
How long has this interaction taken up in your room? Like, how long?
Maybe like 8 minutes.
Okay.
She talks very fast.
Michael is just kind of sitting there like, So you made this whole plan to get me up to your bedroom. Then you're just going to leave me here? Is that what's going to happen?
I really just needed Louise.
I have never felt more
this
betrayed.
This is where the homework part comes in. She goes to her desk and like brings out the textbooks. You're going to do your homework and keep our little ruse up in here. So you
Michael,
get to press play.
Michael puts
voice.
His tongue in his cheek and looks at you with this betrayal, and he goes, I should have brought you the wrong sandwich. This is traitorous. This is fucking bullshit.
Michael, I just need you to know how much I appreciate you. I've already done 15 questions. Whoops, there goes our picture frame.
Woo. Who'd you kill?
It's alive!
They all survived.
I filled out the bubbles in really light gray. So you'll learn, but you have to work for it just a little bit.
Did my mom pay you to do this?
I wish.
This is all free of charge, baby.
So she kind of goes to a window, and she's like getting everything ready, like she's strapped on all of her gear.
He's like moping. He's sitting at your desk with this face of like, I can't believe you've done this to me.
That's friendship, Michael.
No.
It is.
No.
So then she kind of like goes to like swing out the window, and she goes, all right, pop quiz, ready? What's a neutron?
And with that, I want you to act under pressure.
Okay. If I fall out of the window, it'll be justice. Yeah. Is that why? Because you just want me to fall out of the window? Oof. Wait. Five.
Oof.
She just falls out of the window.
Mark experience.
Yeah, it's Mark experience.
Just slips, forgot to tie the rope.
Oh my god.
That would be totally her.
Can that be what it is? She like gives him a jaunty little salute and jumps out, and he just sees the rope slide along the ground.
He doesn't even catch it either. Like, he couldn't catch it. He's like, nope.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. So you being cheeky as hell are ready to propel down your window, and you're standing in your window, and you have the rope, and you're ready to go. And then you're like, okay, pop quiz, ready, go. And then you jump out the window, and then the rope just slides. And it just slides.
And you can just hear Sydney like scream, whispering,
and then a thump.
And then you hear her land in the like the cracked bushes because everything is dead. And Michael stands up and he walks across Sydney's bedroom and he leans out the window and he goes, "Should learn how to fucking rappel." And I think we'll close it on those two. But what is going to happen is that you do take one damage because you fell from a third story window.
Do I hear the slug on the ground?
It's on the back half of the house, so she's no. Got
probably like a sprained ankle, yeah. Like a sprained wrist.
You see her come limping around and you're like,
fuck. She's like, your brother's the devil.
Bastard.
And Louise is like, is he not coming?
Oh, he's doing chemistry for the rest of his life.
And Louise is like, Mom will be happy at least. So he puts it in the gear. He's like, so we're going to the mine?
Did you just forget Michael? Or is he just, like, what happened to him? I thought he was coming with us. I invited him on this trip.
Luis also looks at you and
so Sydney just kind of stops and is like,
why are you here?
She's just kind of thinking and just like choking down the rage. None of her plan is going according. She was very meticulous about this plan.
Do I need to go get him? I can go knock on the door.
So she just kind of looks at Louise and she goes, what is this? What is happening?
Louise is like, Michael brought them.
I'm gonna kill him.
I just go, oh, I can see you're very chipper today. I invited Michael to go to the mines with me, and we are now here. And I was wondering why he's not here.
They invited Michael. Sydney's having like heat flashes. Like she just silently reaches over to like the air conditioning of the car and just pushes it on her. She's like, Louise?
Yes.
Put the car in drive.
And without the headlights on, he just slowly like rolls backwards down your driveway in neutral.
Ah, so we intentionally forgot Michael. I see what's going on now.
And KP does look, not KP, Louise just looks across the seat at you, Sydney, and he just thinks, bring them. I did not bring them. What's going on?
You cannot hurt me. I am innocent.
I'm like, I don't know what you guys are trying to do, but I can hear everything you're saying. I invited Michael to come with me. I didn't realize you two were a part of the deal. I prefer Louise to come as well, but I'm just confused as why we don't have Michael.
And Louise just kind of sits there for a minute, and he just turns on the radio, and he just puts the car in drive.
Ah, so Louise is chipper too. I love being here.
Like, and
we cut to Henry at the mines.
Okay. Oh my god, these past few interactions have been solid gold, y'all.
So we backtrack a little bit closer to the beginning of the 5 o'clock hour.
Okay. Oh, y'all, that was fucking glorious. So Henry has been like kind of looking around at the mine map, mm-hmm. I guess, and like seeing where the best ways to get in would be. Because he wants to go down there and A, find out what's been going on, B, try and stop it, but C, most importantly, if the men have gotten to any of the safe rooms, he wants to get them out.
Okay.
So he's trying to like kind of plot a map in his brain. But he's an idiot. He's not an idiot. He's just, do I make a roll for that? Or like, would that be a...
So are you in the mines yet? Or are you just getting ready to descend into the mines?
Getting ready to descend into the mines.
Are you going to use the same tunnel that's now collapsed that you and Sydney went through? Or are you just going to phase through the main entrance?
I think he's going to phase through the main entrance and see like... if he can go further in, like how far the first obstruction is.
Okay, so I think in that situation, I think, let's see what we got here. I think I'm gonna have you act under pressure first to see how easy it is, because there is a lot of rubble. Okay. So that's gonna be the first thing. We're gonna see how easy it is for you to move through that. And whether or not there's anything that's going to kind of slow that process down. So let's have you roll for an act under pressure.
Rip. Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Okay. So on a six, that is a miss. So mark experience.
Yes.
And sorry, I think very similar to what happened with Sydney falling out of the window. I think that it's really straining on you. Like, you didn't expect it to be as much like all the way through. You were expecting maybe a couple of like smaller pockets where less stone had been. So I'm gonna have you take one damage just because we talked about how the phasing works.
Yes.
Off screen. And so what does happen though is that you are successful in getting all the way through to a small opening. And in this opening there are two channels. There are two other halls essentially that you were placed with, and you don't see anything out of the ordinary, but despite the fact that you don't breathe air, the air is heavy.
Wee woo.
Wee woo. He's just standing there, menacingly. Okay. And there's two channels.
There's two channels.
Does he see anything else, or does he just get that feeling of like, sudden claustrophobia?
Just a little bit of that feeling of sudden claustrophobia. You can tell that, like, literally and metaphorically, this space is heavy.
Okay. He like feels that, and for like half a second his entire form kind of buzzes for a moment just at the feeling of it, and he grits his teeth and just sets off on the I guess whatever the right fork is.
Okay.
He is just kind of in his mind like a mantra. He's like, you are over 100 years old. You are a ghost. Mm-hmm. You have seen shit that would horrify normal people. You are not scared of the dark. And then like a little pebble falls somewhere. And he's like, oh my God. Like makes a static noise. And he's like,
I love that. I love that so much. So you, I think... we'll keep you right now. I think where you're at, following the right hand, I think you are about a third of the way towards the first safety, like the first secure chamber. You have no idea whether or not you're going to find anything in there, alive, dead, or just anything.
Or others.
Yeah. And so I think that we'll switch back gears to Bill, because I think we're going to leave you right there in that first third of that passage in the mine.
Okay.
But I'll tell you one thing. The air continues to feel heavy, but in that way that only supernatural things can be. So you're on the right track.
Okay. He's just kind of like pulsing slowly, like a glow. He does not have a lamp with him, but he's just kind of pulsing out so he can see. And that will be it.
Okay, perfect. So now we switch back gears. Have we arrived, or are we still on the road?
Here we are. It's the mines. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So so it's a Monday night.
It's Monday night.
The mines have been closed for a week. There's no lights on. No. So I think that you, being the suspicious person that you are, have your lights turned off. Like, you've known these roads. Like, you've played enough chicken on the old mining road up here anyways as a teenager to, like, know the drive pretty solidly. And you pull off a little ways before, like, the actual, like, entrance onto mine property. Mm-hmm. Because you don't, if somebody comes up to check on the mines and do a shift for night rounds, anything like that, you want to make sure your car is at the scene. Mm-hmm. So you've pulled off, and you and Jay get out of the car. What do you do?
I say, okay, Jay, cover story.
Cover story.
Then I pull my hunting rifle out of the, and I sling it across my back. And I'm like, coyotes are $25 a pelt. And you and I both heard some coyote-ass sounds.
Right.
All right.
Right. Okay. So Jay kind of agrees, and he gets out of the car, and you both start making your way up towards the mines. We switch gears to the other Santamina's car, and you and Luis have drove this road many times. Michael usually is passed out in the back seat at this point because he has minor narcolepsy when it comes to road trips. And so he pulls up and he goes to pull off on the side of the road. And this is about like 10 minutes after Bill and Jay have arrived. And there's a car in your normal spot. What type of car does Bill drive?
Bill drives.
What type of vehicle does he drive?
It's the mystery machine.
It's not the mystery machine.
It should be. Can it be?
Bill drives whatever the 1970 equivalent of like a 1997 Subaru is. Whatever has that same vibe, but for this time period. Like, he's like the person who has this car is either a geologist or a lesbian, and there's no real.
A lot of the times, it is a lesbian geologist.
Like, there's no real like, it's one or the other. It's gotta be.
My brain just goes to Pinto.
I feel like a Pinto.
I know. It's probably a Pinto.
Yeah, it's a Pinto. 100%.
Pinto's like the one that Toy Story finale. That was the car.
Is it?
Is it?
Pintos are like cute cars, but I don't think that anyone respects Pintos.
What color is your Pinto?
Orange.
So you have a classic orange Pinto. Gotcha. Okay.
Horrifying. It's beautiful.
Oh, no, wait. Here's one that's worse. It's like cream with a big yellow stripe.
Yikes. Is that what you're going with?
That's what I'm going with.
Okay. So you pull up and like, Luis kind of stops a little bit ways before he normally go. He's like, did you invite anybody else?
Luis, I'm going to level with you.
Luis would have been in the diner.
I made a plan.
But he's assuming you were just calling
right,
a meeting.
That's right.
And no longer is there a plan. So. She just kind of goes quiet, just gets herself ready. She's like, you know, the hell, just park right behind him.
And Luis just kind of just nods. He's like,
and then she says, no, park in front of him.
Why?
And he just kind of tilts his head to the side, and he's like,
It's the principal, Luis. It's the principal.
Okay. So he takes his truck, and he pulls in front, and he's like, wait a minute. That's Bill's son of a bitch.
Psycho Bill is the one who was at the scene tonight talking about D&D, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of jumps because he forgot Katie was in the car.
That is a weird man. I told him it was Tommyknockers. That's probably why he is here.
Sydney proceeds to have a stroke in the front seat. Luis just kind of pauses and he's like, when he said it was a D&D meeting, I just assumed that he was going to go on about the Greys for an hour. And he kind of claps and he shuts off his headlights and he looks at you and he goes, so, Bill Diggins and Jay are at the mine too.
Well, great. Let's just sound the alarm. Let's just call the whole town. This could be like a fun, like, block party. Let's make it a block party.
And so I go, I'm in the back seat and I go, oh, so they are playing D&D, I see. But then what is D&D?
And both
so they just, wait, they both just like pop the doors open.
I mean,
yeah.
You're
also
a little
tonight.
Bit bad. And he kind of looks back
so
at you and he goes,
chipper.
It's just a club. It's just a, they talk about, we just.
Ah, oh, can I join the club? This seems like a fun time.
And he kind of sticks his tongue in his cheek, and he just goes, you'll have to talk to Bill.
It's important.
Ah, okay.
Like, I think Bill does use D&D to sometimes mean like, hey, there's shit happening.
Oh, no, but it's an actual D&D group.
But, yeah. No.
9 times out of 10, he bursts into the diner like that, says, there's a D&D meeting tonight.
So as I am getting out of the car, because clearly everybody else is getting out of the car,
I like
car,
to
go,
think at least one of them is
happy. Bill, are you here? I want to hear more about this D&D club.
Luis, like, grabs your face and, like, puts a hand over your mouth and goes, KP?
Yes?
Don't yell at a mine.
Bill!
No!
That was yelling!
Okay, KP? We're gonna play the silent game.
I've never been good at that one.
And I think somewhere up ahead of us, we hear Sydney like grumble something along of like, oh, I'm gonna fucking guess that.
You know, like, I'm always fascinated with that game and playing it with me. I never saw the purpose and never participated.
I love it.
Well, you're gonna play now, and you're gonna be really good, or you get to stay in the car.
This is why Sydney loves
the car. I don't see what you were doing here. I'm not a child. I can get out.
How would you trap me in the car? The locks are on the inside, you guys.
I am simply too strong to be trapped
inside.
Luis
just
kind of
like swears under his breath in Spanish, and he's just like,
language.
You want to go into the mines, right?
Yes.
You want to make it out of the mines alive, right?
Preferably.
Then you're going to be quiet while we go to the mines.
See, I was quiet the second time.
KP? Do you want to go back and get Michael? It's not a long walk. Do you want to?
That was
a
very long drive. That would be a very long walk.
No, it's really short. There's a shortcut that way. And he just points in the middle of nowhere.
Ah, I see your chipper. I'm not going to take your advice. And I walk. He's
like, I'm going to fucking kill Michael. Okay.
I didn't give Michael a choice. He's more mad.
Michael's really taking the fall for everything.
I told Michael, if you do not take me, I'm going by myself and dying. So.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Poor okay. Michael's just doing chemistry homework, and he's like,
what the fuck? Periodically, KT like, comes up, and he's like, how are you kids doing? And he just like begrudgingly presses the recording. And he's being like,
we're
studying,
doing homework.
Thank you.
One of the times, I think Michael comes to the door, and he's like, can I have some coffee? She's in the bathroom. Can I have some coffee? And KT is like, sure. Are you hungry? I've got some bagels downstairs. And he's like, I would love a bagel. That'd be great.
He stops working on his chemistry homework to go hang out with
KT. Oh, yeah. 100%. Okay. So the scene we arrive at is we see Luis and Sydney and KP walking up to the mines. And we see Jay and Bill on the hill above the mine entrance where things have collapsed, kind of looking around. Do you know where you're going?
Yeah.
Okay, Bill, take it away then. Where are you going?
Bill has a very old map of the mines.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing it to Jay. He's like, okay, so what we could do is find an air shaft. That seems dumb, though, because that's a heavy fall that I'm not doing. So what we're going to do is very dangerous. And he closes the map and he just walks towards the entrance of the mine.
Do we see him?
Yes, you see him.
I think also How close are they?
They are, like, walking to the entrance of the mine.
I turn to Jay and I'm like, do you know how many San Dominguez boys are here? Because preferably there's two more coming.
He kind of pauses and he goes, could be one, could be both,
like, as long
could
as
be it, none.
As long as there's one plus company, this will work.
And I go, oh, Bill, you are playing D&D, I see.
And you just hear Luis, like, face palm, like, full on just, like, smack himself in the face.
That was Luis. I know that sound.
And I go and I say, I try to get an explanation from what D&D is. They only told me it was a club and I would like to join. Can I join your D&D club?
That's not up to me. That's up to Jay and Louise and Michael.
Jay, I tried to bring Michael along and they left him behind. I was willing to go get him, but they refused.
Jay looks at Louise like, Michael, where? He's like, he's at KT's house. He's like, oh, okay.
I was like, would you care if I joined this D&D club? Because I like looking for Tommyknockers. You think this has been a fun adventure?
That, huh. So that...
Again, Sissy, she's had like 8 strokes at this point. She's just like not understanding how she could have planned this so well, and it's just gone to absolute hell. She's like, I wasted at least 45 minutes each on those duct tape lines, and now it's just the end.
Oh my god.
So she's kind of, did she sprain her wrist or her ankle?
She sprained her wrist.
Okay. So she's kind of like messing with her wrist to see how, like, workable it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't really rappel with a sprained wrist and, like, unless you're really hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of... I think I'm going to roll investigative history.
Okay, perfect.
As she's doing this, I lean over to Bill. Wait, and I said, I brought that one, so I wouldn't pass. I just really want to investigate the mines. I have a feeling, if you know what I mean.
I do very much know what you mean. While people are doing shit, yeah, Bill has been, like, aligning various crystals from his bag and also just like random obsidian shards he's finding on the ground in like a big circle.
I love that. Okay, what did Sydney roll?
11.
11. Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Investigate a mystery. You get to ask, what happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? And what was it going to do? And what is being concealed?
Let's do where did it go first.
Where did it go? I think the one thing that you remember from last time is that last time you were in the mines and last time your grandpa was talking about the specific part of the mines, it was actually leading off towards the old mine camps. Mm-hmm. So it's going back towards an older vein that was explored previously that had come up relatively dry, but like new results had shown that there was another strong vein of ore that way. So you know it's towards the eastern side. So as far as like, where did it go? Your gut is telling you that you need to go that way.
Okay.
So you know that the entrances, there's about 3 other entrances, old entrances, on that half of the mining property.
Okay. And then what can it do? Like, what? From all my research of Tommyknockers, what have I learned it can do?
I think the one thing that you know is that according to lore and according to legend, Tommyknockers are relatively pretty chill. It usually takes something pretty wild to get them stirred up to the point where they're going to cause human harm. But the one thing that you are very aware of is the fact that their bites and scratches are relatively pretty intense to humans.
Okay.
Not a lot of people have ever been like attacked with Tommyknockers. And for the most part, they really try and avoid people. Like, they're usually more helpful to human miners than they are harm.
Okay.
So that's what I would tell you they can do.
Okay, so Sydney kind of assesses the situation. She calms down her hot-headedness and realizes that she's going to have to adjust here because it's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of looks around. She gives Luis the look that's like, we are going to leave them here kind of a thing. And so she kind of like walks up to KP and is like, you know, you're right. I've been chipper. I've been in a mood. I've had a bad day. I think we should all just like take a second. We should all just not breathe mostly. And let's just think about this. Okay. KP, you're very enthusiastic about D&D. Maybe you should stay here with Jay and Bill and figure that out. And me and Luis are going to go on this side of the mine. And she actually points to the opposite side of where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to check and see if the air shaft is still functioning. And then she doesn't even, like, give them an answer. She just kind of, like, grabs Luis by the hand and starts walking.
And as you're walking away, I just said, oh, I'm going to the mines with or without you. I'd prefer to survive the first time, but...
How deep is the collapse?
Deep.
Deep?
Deep.
Okay.
Basically, where this entrance is, like, it was a... So it's not even, like, the main entrance of the mine. It's, like, the second or third entrance. And so part of it, the reason why they wanted to keep it separate was, A, because of stabilization within the mine itself. So... Essentially, in the middle of this giant-ass canyon is the first entrance. You guys are all on the right side, because you're towards the east. So that's kind of where everybody is. But it's, like, down.
Okay.
100%.
As they go to leave, I was like, I feel like I'm not included on their adventure. Would you like me to show you where we went in the first time?
So I'm still, like, organizing crystals, and I get the last one, and I'm like, sick, Jay, will you hold this? And then I give him the rifle, and I'm going to use magic real fast.
Okay, cool.
Cool. So I'm going to burn a luck.
Probably a good call.
And specifically, the thing I would like to do, because the way you described it, it sounds like do one thing beyond human limitations would be kind of a stretch to unblock this mine.
Yeah.
So I think what I'd like to do instead is like make a little sensor that I can just like probe around in the mine with.
Okay, what are you sensing?
Just like having like a little probe, like a little ball of light that acts as like a camera that I can just like.
So are you going to stay on the outside of the mines and use
this? I am on the outside.
Okay.
And then the little scout is going in.
Okay, I can allow that. I think that's actually going to work really cool for what we're going to set up here.
I'm afraid.
So we have Luis and Kay.
The specific instructions were, Jay, I need you to make sure I'm not moved.
Okay.
Keep the circle intact.
Okay.
KP, if you do find your way in, there's going to be a little ball of light, and it's going to be like green to blue. You can speak to that as if it's me, and then I'll be able to respond a couple of words at a time.
Okay. This is something very similar I had at back home. Okay, I think I understand.
Yeah.
Jay kind of looks at you like, where the fuck are you from?
So, Sydney, just to interject, so Sydney and Louise are going more towards, like, the old town side. They want to, that's where she wants to get in. She gets, like, halfway to the town and gets, like, just this horrible feeling that she should not have left KP behind. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this, like, inherited, like, oh my god, like you left your kid behind, obviously. And so she's like,
or your grandkid.
She kind of stops and she's like, was I like too mean?
Luis kind of pauses and he's like, they don't really have anybody else here and they seem to be really stuck to you.
So Sydney kind of waits.
You know they're going to try and go down probably the way that you guys went in the first time.
So she kind of groans, drops her backpack. She's like, wait here. Or go and wait in the house, like, because they were talking before. So there's, like, an old, I imagine there's little mine houses. She's just going to say, go wait at the house. I'll be back with them. If anything happens, I need you to throw up the bat signal. And she basically just has this giant, like, power light. She's like, just flip it.
Perfect.
And I'll come back. And so then Sydney, like, breaks off into a run to go and get KP again.
Okay.
I also think that when I watch you make this obsidian ring, I'm really, like, something is drawing me to this obsidian. I really like it
a lot. For sure.
I love this obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you're doing your little circle, I'm like, hey, after you're done with your little circle thing, can I have one of those pieces of obsidian?
Something tells me there's going to be something more to your liking in there, though. This is taking a lot of concentration. Jay, will you answer all of her questions?
Can I have a piece of obsidian when he's done?
I don't know if you can have these specific ones, but I know he sells ones just like this in the shop.
Oh, I just really want a piece of it. Okay.
He's got some, like, turned into, like, some really cool, like, little necklace pieces. Like, they're pretty cool.
A necklace? I'm obsessed with the idea of a obsidian necklace. It's the best thing I have heard since I have come to the 19th.
Jay's, like, totally, like, encountered by this. He's like, yeah. Did you know? Okay, first of all, you haven't been anywhere in town, have you? You've just been in the mine, and into the mine, apparently,
yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Do you know why we're called Obsidian Lake?
I am.
You have obsidian?
Scouting.
In a lake.
An entire lake of it.
An entire lake.
I must go.
Just a little bit.
Will you take me tomorrow?
I definitely see
what is tomorrow? Tuesday? Yeah, we can go tomorrow.
Okay, we must stop at the shop first. You give me one of those obsidian necklaces, though.
I'll tell you what, if we make it out of tonight alive, we will go. Actually, the light's really cold.
I am beholding scratches. That's wild. Jay, will you hand me my notebook?
And he hands you the notebook.
Thank you.
And right as he hands you the notebook, what you see in this orb is a man walking down a hallway.
That's a man walking down a hallway.
Okay. So Henry does not realize that he is being trailed by a wisp.
Would I recognize him?
I think first it's a little staticky, but you're moving pretty fast towards him.
And Henry changed his outfit for this. Before, Henry has always kind of been dressed in like business casual. For this, he is only in the button down and like suspenders and dress pants. Ooh. And climbing boots. Like, he's like, this is my kick-ass gear. And then he drops something while he's changing. And he's like, he is always afraid. So he is not aware that he is being followed, but he is just like, I don't know. I guess, do you make yourself known to Henry?
This little sensor, because I'm putting rules on it, can only communicate to things that I know. So as long as you are a mystery to me, no.
Okay.
So I'm probably not going to be able to say anything to you until I'm like right up on you.
So I guess you see Henry like pull out his map, or you see the shape pull out a piece of paper and mark something off on it. And then he rolls it back up and he turns around to go down another path.
And see, what you don't quite, what you may realize with the map that's been provided to you by KT, you are also headed towards the old section of the mine. He's not too worried about you. He's given you kind of like a rundown of like where things are and where he thinks like the core of the collapse has happened. You're closer now. You're actually pretty much right up on where the safe room is. And so would you rather read a bad situation or investigate a mystery?
What is the right answer?
I know. Here's the thing. Since my curse is curiosity, could he do both? Or no?
If your curse is curiosity, you would investigate before you read about it.
I'd investigate, yeah. He'd be like, what is this? As like, like weird water drips down a stalagmite, and then he's like, oh, that's a mouth. And then he gets eaten.
Ooh, that would be pretty rough. Well, I'm not telling you you're going to be eaten this time, but I would suggest investigating a mystery.
He'll investigate. 12 plus 2, that's a 14.
All right.
Nat 20 in this universe.
Two questions.
Okay.
What happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What is it going to do? And what is being concealed here?
What is being concealed here?
Good question, Joven. Okay. You've been down in this mine for a solid couple of hours. You've probably been here since about 3 o'clock. What is being concealed here? This tunnel's looking pretty shitty, to be quite frank. But the one thing that you are seeing is that the door to the safe room is perfectly intact. And I think what you do is you go to open this door.
Mm-hmm.
And once you open this door to is an empty room. Or a seemingly empty room is a better explanation. You can tell that whatever happened inside of this room was a fight. And the only thing you see behind some broken furniture, some tipped over lamps, some weird fragments of tools, is a small, dirty sock that looks like it might fit a 5-year-old, sewn into pieces from pieces of canvas jackets with holes for 4 toes. And behind you, the door closes.